Invite Stuart to come up to speak. I realize some of us all know you from previous speaking engagements, and some people are new in Hebron this morning. Who are you and where do you come from?
Yeah, I'm Stuart Weir, coming down from Glasgow, a couple hours north, of course. So, finished a PhD in the theology of work, just there in December. And I'm looking to try and get a job lecturing somewhere in doctrine and ethics. So, but in the meantime, I'm working as a building surveyor, just to tide us over, and I'm enjoying that, actually. And we've just had our firstborn, little Elia. She's up the back there, and she's keeping our lives interesting. So, yeah, that's what's been happening of late, just a few things.
Excellent. I just want to pray for you before you come and share with us this morning. Father God, we come before you to hear from you, Lord. We thank you for Stuart. We thank you for his faithfulness to you, and we thank you that he spent time studying your word and seeking you to bring a message to us this morning, Lord. And we really pray that we would hear you speaking clearly into our hearts and into our lives as individuals and also as a church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rob. Cheers. So today we're going to be looking at the end of Genesis 5 and kind of a chunk of Genesis 6 and then a chunk of Genesis 8. So maybe we'll read maybe all of that right now first. And I want to bring a message about work, which comes through the story of Noah. And it's a curious little passage because other than the well-known Sunday school story of the flood, some of the details of this story, at least to me, were completely brand new and fresh and challenging and impressed upon me so much, and I just really wanted to bring it and see what God might do with this part of his story here in Carlisle. And of course this is in some ways talk three for the Veterinary Christian Fellowship lot as well, so hopefully it'll slot in quite well with what we've done before yesterday morning and yesterday tea time. So let's just say a quick prayer again, and then let's read part of this story. Father, we want to hear the Spirit speak in our lives, and we want you to bring what is an ancient story to life for us. This is our story, and we want it to force us to change, to become more into the image of Christ. And may this really, really old story do that this morning and cajole us along this journey of following Jesus. In his name, amen. Okay, so let's start reading from Genesis 5 and verse 28. Genesis 5:28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he became the father of a son. He named him Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the toil of our hands." That's a potent way to start, eh? Lamech lived after the birth of Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When people began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that they were fair, and they took wives for themselves of all that they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in mortals forever, for they are flesh. Their days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went into the daughters of humans who bore children to them. These were heroes that were of old, warriors of renown. The Lord saw the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he'd made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to the heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I've created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. These are the descendants of Noah. Trigger. Verse 9 is a trigger. These are the descendants of Noah. A new thing is about to happen. Remember I mentioned a trigger to the veterinary folks yesterday morning? These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, Genesis 2, 4. Something new is going to happen. So we must clock that here. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Right, let's do a massive jump to the beginning of chapter 8. We will jump kind of being on the water in the ark. Chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark. Now let's do another wee jump in that same chapter. To verse 17. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out of the ark by families. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind. For the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I've done. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. The fear and dread of you shall rest on every animal of the earth, and on every bird of the air, on everything that creeps on the ground, and on the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, just as I gave you the green plant. I give you everything. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. For your own lifeblood I will surely require a reckoning. From every animal I require it, and from human beings, each one for the blood of another, I will require a reckoning for human life. Whoever sheds the blood of a human, by a human shall that person's blood be shed, for in his own image God made humankind. And you, be fruitful and multiply, abound on the earth, and multiply in it. We'll hold it there. That's quite a lot of reading. So going back to the end of chapter 5, so if you turn back there, that wouldn't be a bad thing. We go back to the words of Lamech, Noah's dad, who says of his son, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the toil of our hands. What a curious and profound prophetic statement. And it wasn't unusual for fathers to make a prophetic foretelling of the nature of a son or daughter, or of something significant that they would go on to do. And Lamech's no different with his son Noah here. And it's interesting because in the Hebrew, the word Noah, the name Noah, is the name for rest. The word for rest. And there's a bit of Hebrew wordplay going on here in this verse. This one, Noah, rest, will bring us relief from our work, from the toil of our hands. So Noah is spoken upon with profound words with which he is going to bring. And this is bizarre, isn't it? We so concentrate on the fall of man, and rightly so. But here, doesn't it say, or it seems to say actually quite directly, not even kind of in a fudging way, that somehow God, through Noah, is going to undo this curse? No longer will work be hard? That's what I thought when I first read it. Goodness me, is this what it actually means? We see into chapter 6, when we get to verse 5, that part of that rest, part of that relief, the kind of counterbalance to all of this wickedness around everywhere, is this guy Noah. Wickedness of humankind was great. And yet in verse 8, we see this other figure, Noah. He found favor in the sight of the Lord. He's set apart as this other type of person. Because everything that's talked about up until now was the whole earth, all humankind, and every inclination of all of their thoughts was only evil continuously. I mean, it's so universal in its scope, and yet this singled out man is a contrast to this evil. It's striking, and we're meant to notice this. Verse 8 again. Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And then comes this trigger that I pointed out. Verse 9. Something new is going to happen. Whenever we read the words, these are the descendants of, in Genesis, or these are the generations of, we are meant to notice this. Something new is going to happen now. It's a trigger. It's a device used by the writer of Genesis. Bing, the bell should be ringing, the flag should be going up. Oh, I meant to notice this. Here is this guy. A righteous man, verse 9, after the descendants of Noah. Blameless in his generation, which was only wicked continuously. Noah walked with God. Striking small sentences. And this guy was a worker. And we find that out when we reach verse 22, which we didn't read of chapter 6. Let's read that there. Noah did all this. God's like, right, this is what I want you to do. And Noah did all this, verse 22 says. He did all that God commanded him. And what was that? It was to build a boat. It was to build a boat. So we see Noah. Noah is confronted not only as a righteous man, a man of God, but he is a man of God who is co-working with God. God has some ideas, he has some demands, and Noah goes and does it. In other words, he is an obedient worker, a godly worker, a spiritual man at work in the world. Something that occurred to me even this weekend, not even in my kind of more deliberate preparations, was, isn't it significant that God would wish for every species of animal, and this is for you vets out there who care about animals in particular, would want to save every species of animal. Let's go back to that first talk that we did yesterday morning, not to exclude everyone else. We're talking about the Genesis 1 and 2 story here, by the way. God bringing animals into being, dynamic, and letting Adam name them, and that was their name. It's an antelope. It's a beaver. It's a squirrel. And God took that so seriously so as to save each kind and put them in the ark. It's so funny, you know, being in a city, you know, it's easy to not take animals that seriously, even though every household in Glasgow has a dog. It's easy to overlook the animal world, you know. And yet God takes his workmanship so seriously, and Adam's, by the way, because he put his little stamp on it by naming each one of them, naming each species, to save each one of them and bring them in that ark. That ark, by the way, that Noah built in obedience to God. There's some significance in God's wanting to save not just the family of this righteous man, but also the work of his own hands in the animals too. And so post-flood, because we jumped the flood really, didn't we, in my reading here, God wants to reinvigorate Project Earth. We talked about Project Earth yesterday morning. Project Earth was to rule and subdue the earth, to till and keep it responsibly, in keeping with God's purposes, in tandem with him, in relationship with him, this dynamic thing. Project Earth is back on the map, even though the fall happened. It is firmly back on the map. But this time, he wants to start it again with a man of obedience. And so by the time we get to chapter 8 and verse 17, which we jump to, bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds, animals, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, flourishing, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Work was to be renewed. This prophecy was beginning to come true. The words that his dad spoke over him, he was to bring relief from our toil, is starting to come true. God wiped the slate clean, and it just seems so harsh, but hey, that's what happened. And he was going to reinvigorate Project Earth through a family, a man of obedience. And those animals that he brought along in this massive journey were to abound, to flourish, to grow under these new conditions with wickedness put to the side. Work, once more, was back on the agenda, was to be renewed. And we see that again if we look again at verse 17 in chapter 8. We see the words, and we should recognize these, be fruitful and multiply on the earth. God called the birds to do that in the Genesis 1 story. And we see those words. In fact, I read those words 3 times. Don't know if you clocked that. When we read the same words 3 times in a short space of time, we should be noticing that. What is that all about? God wants to reinstate the image of God through Noah. Be fruitful, multiply. This is what being the image of God was all about. Being fruitful, multiplying, shaping, reshaping the earth responsibly. The image of God, although sin has come into the world, is still on my agenda, God says. Project Earth is still going to go. Right, Noah, let's go. And we see as we move down into the 9th chapter and we get to verse 2, we see a real ordering of things. And it reminds me, the wording of this verse reminds me of Psalm 8. But chapter 9 verse 2 reads, the fear and dread of you shall rest on every animal of the earth, on every bird of the air, on everything that creeps on the ground, on all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. There are 2 things I see there when I read that. The first is, there is a deliberate ordering. You know, mankind is in charge.
there is a clear ordering of mankind over animals. There's a reason why people bring animals to human beings to deal with them, to worm them, to calf them, whatever, take ticks off them. You're the guys that do all that. But we see the results of the fall in there too, don't we? There is a fear there. There's a kowtowing of the animal to man and woman. That lingering of sin, things not right, sort of undercurrent going through here. But this reinstatement of Project Earth, this reinstatement of image of God in man, is further brought to the fore in verses 8 and 9, which I decided not to read because we've just done a lot of reading. But let's read them now. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 9. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me," God says, "I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you." We'll just pause there for a second and we'll come back to the rest of that. A covenant. That is strong, strong language. We are in the closest kind of relationship possible to muster. You are a man that has walked with me. I am making covenant with you. We are going to do this Project Earth thing right this time. Let's do this. You are my image. Rule and subdue the earth responsibly with kingdom values. Look after these animals. And let's make this thing run well this time, Noah, please. And so Noah, if we track down into verse 20 of this chapter, becomes a man of the soil, a man of maybe uncursed soil, if we're to believe those previous verses. A man who brings us relief from our toil. It says, a new covenant made. Let's go and make this work. Make that soil produce vibrancy. Let's make that wine good. And unfortunately, man, it very quickly descends into a bit of drunken chaos, quite frankly, by the end of this chapter. And I decided not to kind of elaborate and get into all of that, but I thought I'd mention to some of the young'uns yesterday and wink, wink, you know what I mean. We see sin at work again there. So what's going on here for us? What is this ancient story of a part shipbuilder and a part vine dresser and a... Well, that's a pretty strange story, isn't it? What has that got to do with us? Listen, God, the overarching thing, I think, God is determined to hope and place His trust in us to live as His image. This is plan B in a sense. I mean, He scratched plan A, put it to the side, He's like, right, man, I want this image of mine that I have created so carefully to work out well. Come on, Noah. Let's see if we can make this fly this time. You and I are made in His image. You and I are gathered here because we are people of this man Jesus, and we are meant to grow into His image every day somehow by the power of the Spirit. And as Mike said earlier, much of our time is spent in activities, work. And that image is meant to grow in that place as a teacher, as an architect, as a vet, even as a retiree, even as a student. That image is to be fostered in us as we engage the world. You're going to get out into Carlisle maybe later today or tomorrow, whenever it is you go out and engage it, and be that image of God in Carlisle. That's a challenge. Project Earth is on. Apparently, Noah is to bring us relief from our toil. Are you game for this? It's a serious project. It's a serious covenant relationship we are in, born with blood. And so, my vet friends, my new vet friends, animals put high on the agenda with this new version of Project Earth, animals stressed in particular. Exciting. Exciting as you students embark upon a task, as you guys that are already in the middle of your careers are going and maybe getting jaded around the edges or disappointed or trying to figure out how to get back into another job or trying to get into your first job. Hey, doing this well, according to kingdom principles, is on God's agenda. Rule and subdue these animals. Let them abound in this earth. Working with animals is godly, godly, spiritual, sacred stuff. Working with people is godly, sacred, spiritual stuff. Working with bits of paper, working with bricks and mortar, whatever it is you do, do it kingdomly. How do we do that? Well, this story tells us, I think, above all else, done in obedience. Walking with God. Everyone else was wicked round about. You are righteous. You are blameless. That's how kingdom principles work out from this story. The last couple of verses of Hebrews, and we won't go there, talks about the covenant made by Jesus' blood. That is the covenant we are now under. And it's, in some sense, gathers up, and within itself, this covenant made to Noah and his descendants, of which we are a part. And a covenant is laid down to you and me. This is the strongest kind of relationship possible. Live in light of the seriousness of that. But you know, did you notice this in chapter 9? And let's reread this again from verse 8. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you." Covenant with man. Comma. "And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark." That is why he brought his animals. Well, that's why God asked Noah to bring the animals, two by two. "They are my workmanship, and I am also making a covenant with them." My word. That is strong stuff. Does that not elevate the life of the animal world or what? Man, that gives veterinary practice a serious amount of importance. That is how interested God is in his workmanship. Workmanship, by the way, which man made his stamp on by naming them. Just to conclude, work is good. Work is intended and should be intended for good. And to add a nuance to that, a clause to that, that good comes and stems from a heart of obedience to God's commands, as ridiculous as we think they might be, as unreasonable as we sometimes make them out to be. Go and build a boat. Are you workers of obedience? Have you started to slip a bit into that schizophrenic, I'm the perfect Christian woman or man at home, but when I'm at work, man, I just behave differently. And your ethics start to slide. And your values start to slide in that workplace. Shore them up. Pull your bootstraps up. And in obedience, in the power of the Spirit, get that back on track if you feel that is sliding. Take Noah on board as our exemplar and as our descendant. This is the relief from our toil, perhaps, that we are empowered by His Spirit now to live obedience in that workplace. As tricky as that is, as complex as that appears, as sinned against as you might be sometimes, let us live lives of intelligent obedience. Project Earth is on in God's name, in covenant with God. A covenant born by blood. Amen. Father, I